man, welcome. We're glad that you're here. I see some students with some custom-made shirts on. That's awesome. They just came back from summer camp. They had an amazing time there. And so thankful to all the leaders that took them to camp. And their lives were changed forever. I had a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old go. And literally, when they came home Friday night, I was like, thank you, Jesus. Something happened. So thank you, Pastor Emilio and Nikki did a fantastic job. Many, many adult took off work, went with them. So that's incredible. So thank y'all so much for doing that. I want to talk to you just for a little bit today. A message that if you've been around Promise and you've heard this message a lot. In fact, we probably give this a message like this 3 to 5 times a year because it's so important. It's not a heavy message, but it's a very, very important message. It's a foundational part of Promised Land, and it's just simply this. We need each other. When COVID hit, they created this term called social distancing, and it's really the wrong term because social is not the problem. It was the physical that was the problem at that stage. And we needed a distance physically, but to cut off relationship is not the answer. Got to stay connected. Thankfully, we have technology. Everybody that's online right now, glad to have you. But online, to be honest, is a crutch. It's not designed to be long term. It's to get you by if you're sick, or get you by if there's a pandemic, or you know, if you're on on vacation or out of town or working or whatever, and you can't be here physically. There's nothing to substitute for physical contact with other human beings. Just nothing that compares to it. And so at Promised Land, if you were to summarize our mission here, it would be to bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. It's simple. Bring people, come on everybody, let's go, into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you read the Bible, if you read the whole Bible, you understand that you cannot just individually go to Christ by yourself. You need people to help you. You need other people, not just to meet Jesus for the first time, but to help you grow in your faith. You need other people and your life. So at Promised Land, that's why we keep talking about it many, many different ways. And some of you are very social and you can meet people organically, get to know them, hang out, become close friends with them on your own. That's awesome. There's other people that struggle with it. Introverted, not really interested in other people at all or whatever. And so the church wants to help you. So what we do is we create small groups that talk about different things. So we have men's groups, women's groups, families with kids, families without kids, empty nesters, student groups, college, Texas State. I mean, groups that study a certain book of the Bible, groups that study a book that's a biblically based book of some sort. Some groups just talk about the sermon from Sunday. So many different types of group, but I want to let you in on a little secret. All of those types of groups are just a hook to get you into that group so that at some point in that group, you'll make connections with other people. It's the relationship in the group that is really the reason behind the group more than, you know, the topic or whatever that we're talking about. Yes, you will learn stuff that will help you. The content in the group, yes, very helpful. But the relationship is the golden nugget. And coming into this room is important. Worshiping together, singing the same lyrics with somebody beside you, important, yes. Hearing the message, preached, spoken, delivered by whoever is important. But you can only get so far in your relationship with God in a group setting if you're not connected to other people. So in the next couple months, we're going to be launching. In fact, it's going to be near the end of September. We're going to be launching dozens of new groups. And I'm excited about you guys being a part of that. But I'll be really honest with you. I'm looking today for people that would be interested in leading a group. And that may seem intimidating or hard, difficult. Well, I don't have my degree in the Bible yet. I've only been to Promised Land for a year. Okay, we're going to take all those excuses. Throw them away. Okay, so if you want to lead a small group, I love that. Lead a small group, text all one word, SG Leader to 94,000. SG Leader 94,000. Nikki's going to get back to you, answer questions. Maybe you just are not sure yet. Go ahead and send that text, and we'll help you. So we need each other. 40% of Americans say that they do not have a friend. They have acquaintances. They know people. They have coworkers. Being in a building like this doesn't exclude you from loneliness. You can be in a crowd and be lonely. Right? Yeah, I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Some of you are experiencing it, unfortunately, right now. Maybe you don't know people here. So 40% of Americans would say they're not just lonely in a church setting, they're lonely in life in general. So we want to change that. We want the people in the family to be connected with other people in the family. Genesis 2:18 says, this is the beginning of the Bible. This is when God was creating everything. He had said, the trees are good. The sun is good. The water's good. The animals are good. You know, everything he created, says, then he said it was good. But he said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who's just right for him. So don't get caught up in the gender in this. It is humanity. It's not good for you to be alone. It's not good for you to be alone. It's not good for me to be alone. We need each other. And I think it's interesting that when Eve took the bite of the forbidden fruit, she committed the first sin in the history of the world. Adam was not with her. She was alone. She wasn't meant to be that way. She fell to temptation when she was alone. Ecclesiastes 4:8 says, this is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. This is Solomon, who had everything. In fact, Solomon is said to be the wisest man in the world. And he had so many wives. He had hundreds of wives. Have you ever thought about why he had so many wives? As a Bible student, asked his professor one time, why did Solomon have so many wives? And the Bible professor said, well, it's because he was hoping, when he got home from work, that at least one of them would be in a good mood. I'm kidding. That was a joke. All right. So, not going to give that joke at 11:30. Okay. You taught me a lesson. 8:30 laughed hard at that one, okay? So, I'm not sure what's going on in their marriages, but. All right. Solomon had everything, money, fame, power. But he was saying in this message that you can try to gain the whole world. You can be rich. You can be powerful. But if you don't have people in your life, if you don't have friends in your life, you don't have relationship in your life, you're going to keep wandering and wandering around. So I want to give you five principles of these, relationships, why we need relationships. The first one is this. I need people who will care for me. I need people in my life who will care for me. Jesus took the role of caring for his disciples. Now, in their culture, when somebody would go into a house, a servant would be there at the door ready with a basin of water to wash the feet of the guest when they would walk into that house. When the disciples entered into this house at the Last Supper, there was a servant there to meet them at the door, but it wasn't someone they did not recognize, but in fact, it was Jesus who was there to serve them by washing their feet. This was astonishing to them. No, Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. They're disgusting. And they were. I mean, all of our feet are disgusting, right? I mean, we don't want to see each other's feet. It's nasty. Corns and dirt and cracks and funk and come on. And we wash them and put socks on them and put lotion on them and all kind of dainty things to our feet. Back in that day, they were sandals. They didn't have all that stuff, exfoliation and all that stuff. And there was dung and feces on the ground and sewage and rotten things and just gross stuff that was on their sandals and on their feet. And so for Jesus, the Savior of the world, to kneel down and begin to wash the feet of these disciples was an absolute mind-boggling thing. And Peter says, no, you cannot wash my feet. I will not let you. And he says, you have to let me or you cannot be any part of me. And then he stood and said, I want you to do this to each other. This is how you're going to live from this day forward. You're going to care for one another. You're going to serve one another. You need people in your life that are going to care for you. And that means you're going to have to let them in. You're going to have to allow them to help you. And it's a two-way street. You should be looking to help other people. And sometimes it means doing things that are uncomfortable or difficult. And so emotional, physical, spiritually, mental, we need help. We need people to care for us. So 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And so I want to let you know, in order for this scripture to come to pass, it promised then, in order for you to be cared for effectively and thoroughly, getting in relationships with each other is the way that's going to happen. Getting in a group of people that are going to love on you. And the best way for you to have pastoral care in your life is for you to be in a small group. Just letting you know that. You know, obviously our church is big, and man, I'm gonna help as many people as I can. I'm gonna pray for as many people as I can as the pastor of this church. I'm gonna do everything I can to help you and pray for you and all that. But at the end of the day, I cannot just do all that for every single person all the time. And here's the even better news. I don't need to do that all the time because God is empowering the church. He's empowering you. Just like today was a great example. All of us standing up at the front, it didn't matter which station you came to. The same God is going to touch you no matter what person you came in contact with. We're all drawing on the presence of God to come into your life and make a difference. So people call the church, I need to talk to Pastor Robin, and you don't. So this is an educational moment for you, that God is empowering people in the church to minister to one another, and it happens on a regular basis, on a very thorough basis. And maybe you need to hear this. God wants to empower you to do that for others. God wants you to pray for others. So get that in your thoughts. Some of you have heard this. If you've been around for a while, you've heard this story. But there's a man in our church named Roland. He's since passed. He's with the Lord now. But Roland was in a small group literally every day of the week. And he was in all kinds of groups. We had to kick him out of a few groups. Like, you're not a college student, Roland. You can't come to the college, okay? You're 70. All right. True story, but So he was in all these groups, and he would get sick a lot, and he would go to the hospital a lot. And I'll never forget this one time that we literally got a call from the hospital that said, please tell people from Promised Land to stop coming to visit him. And I had not even been to the hospital yet. But so many people reached out to him and loved on him and went to pray for him in the hospital that he was overflowing with prayer and love and people bringing him food and people going over to the house to cut his grass. And I mean, just so many. That is what we need. We need that. We need that attention. We need that care. So number two, I need people who will encourage me. We need encouragement, right? We need people speaking to us. Attaboy, you're doing good. Keep going. Don't give up. This may not be because you're in a crisis, but it just, you know, every once in a while we need someone in our life to tell us we're going to make it. You're doing a good job. Keep going. Don't give up. We also need people in our life that's going to teach us and maybe challenge us. Look at this verse in Hebrews 3:13 says, you must warn each other every day. How often? Every day. You need people in your life every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. And so many people fall away from their relationship with God and their faith journey. And it's because they don't have other people in their life continually encouraging them and uplifting them and warning them, come on, let's keep going. You're going to make it. So important to be a shoulder to cry on, to speak encouragement. One of my favorite things to see when I'm in a group, I saw it in my class this summer during our documentary and discussion class. People exchanging phone numbers, exchanging emails. Love that. That's awesome. That means there's going to be something beyond the meeting, right? There's going to be a relationship, some sort of connection, some sort of checking up. So that's a very, very practical thing that I want to encourage you to do. Don't be afraid to do that. Exchange phone numbers. Exchange emails. If you're my kid's age, you're exchanging Snap. You're going to add them on Snap. Okay, none of y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, never mind. Cameron knows what I'm talking about. Number three, I need people who will partner with me. This is a concept that I think most people don't see in the Bible. The unity of the Bible, the collectiveness of the Bible, the plurality of the Bible, because a lot of us have a individual, I'm going to be saved by God. I have a relationship with God. It's like you and God, which is, there's nothing wrong with that until we forget the we part and the us part. And if you really, I want you to really start thinking about how many times the Bible says we and us and they and them. Like, there's so many plural parts of this. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece, for he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he has planned for us long ago. So we were created, not just me, not just I, not just you, but there's a connection to that masterpiece. There's a mosaic that's happening, that you're a piece, I'm a piece, they're a piece, you know, we're all coming together, that God is doing something in us that's beautiful and perfect and lovely. And I don't know if you realize this, but probably the most famous prayer of all time, the Lord's Prayer, if you're from a Catholic tradition, you know it as Our Father. And that's how it starts. Our Father, who art in heaven, right? Have you ever realized that it's our Father, not just my Father, our Father. It's interesting. Good stuff. So partner, partner with one another and connecting together to do something great. So do a serve project together. Find something that you can do with other people. We have a great missions thing going on right now, Promise Sand. Yesterday, we invited the Greater San Marcos Youth Council here to our campus. And so we had a lot of kids here that are the foster care system. And so we ministered those kids. And when I say we ministered to them, you know what we did? We had water slides and water balloons and corn dog. Man, I hadn't eaten a corn dog in 15 years. I forgot how good corn dogs are. Man, awesome. We ate corn dogs. We gave them bicycles. It was awesome. It was beautiful. And it wasn't just old people like me doing it. There was couples doing it. We had kids there, their age from our church, the kids you just saw here. Some of them were here yesterday hanging out with these kids and loving on them. And it was just a beautiful thing to see all these different age groups all coming together to do something for kids who have been neglected and hurt and abused, and for them to just have smiles on their face. Some of them went to summer camp, the teenagers, some of them went to summer camp with our students, and they're praying in the altar and receiving Jesus, and just a beautiful thing to come together and partner. We can do much more together than we can individual. Okay, number four, I need people who will protect me. In Ephesians 6, God teaches us about the weapons of our warfare, spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the helmet and the shield and the sword and the belt and the shoes and all that. But there's one place on the body that it doesn't protect, and that's the back. There's no protection for the back. And the reason why is because God is wanting us to have each other's back. That's the whole point of that. And in fact, the Old Testament talks about it, Ecclesiastes 4:12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And it's even better for three. Three are even better. A triple braided cord is not easily broken. So I want to talk to you about protecting one another, and we can learn something from the Methodist tradition. Back in the old days, the Methodists had a method. That's why they call them Methodists. And one of their methods was these relationships with each other and making sure they had relationships with one another. And they would ask each other questions, accountability questions. And I want to list them off for you today. And these have been modernized a little bit. But here's some questions that we can ask each other when we get in these personal relationships. Nobody's going to answer these questions right now, okay? You can if you want, but it'd be kind of awkward and weird to answer it in a group setting. And we're vulnerable. We don't know who we can trust in a room like this. But when we get together in a smaller setting, we can start learning from each other. And so here's the questions. Number one, have you been in any compromising situations this week? Have you been in something that's compromised your ethics, your morals, your values? Number two, have any of your financial interactions lacked integrity? Number three, have you viewed any sexually explicit material? Number four, have you spent quality time in Bible study and prayer? These are very direct questions, very personal questions. I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying here. These are not questions for us to judge one another. You only ask these questions with somebody you trust because you want to protect one another. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about protecting one another. So we ask these questions because my heart is grieving for you and I want to help you. And so I'm connecting with you at this deep level. Number five, have you given quality time to your family? Number six, have you fulfilled the mandate of your calling? And then number seven is probably the most important. Have you just lied to me about any of these questions? Yeah. We need to ask the hard questions. Some of you are in relationship already. You've been in a small group for years. You have friendships. But you've never gotten to this level. And I want to encourage you to step into the next level of transparency and vulnerability. The Bible says you confess your sin to Jesus, he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and all your unrighteousness. Jesus is going to forgive you of everything. But there's also a verse that tells us if you want to be freed from those sins, if you want to be delivered from that addiction to whatever it is, it says, confess your sins to one another so you will be healed. So the difference between forgiveness and healing. Jesus is going to forgive you, and he's going to heal you through other people. Number five, I need people who will pray for me. John 17, 9, my prayer. This is Jesus praying. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you've given to me because they belong to you. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says this? I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for the disciples. Jesus prayed for the disciples, not for the world, because he knew that if his disciples were on point, they would reach the world. Another time he teaches us that the harvest or the world is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord for more laborers. Pray for the people. Pray for one another. I want to encourage you to pray for each other, because if we're healthy and we're strong, we are going to make a difference in the world. Sometimes I think we want to pray for God. Just go fix the world. You know, make lightning strike over there and go deliver goods to those people over there. And we're like sitting back in our, you know, our prayer chair. It's like, God, do that. And God, do this. And God, do that. And God's like, get off your chair. I edited that the last second. Get up and I'm going to empower you to go. And then I want you to pray for other people to go with you. So pray for laborers. Pray for people. And I'm asking you to help me pray for more small group leaders this fall than we've ever had. We need small group leaders to lead young families with kids. We need empty nest small group leaders. We're seeing Kissing Tree like it's exploding in growth, and we want to reach Kissing Tree like never before. We see young families. We see college students growing. Our college ministry is growing like we've never had before. We're going to have multiple groups there. Student ministry. I mean, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is there. We need people to step up and be laborers in the field. And I'm here to tell you, we're going to help you be laborers. We're going to be teaching you how to use trimmers, and we're going to teach you how to use fertilizer, and teach you how to use rakes and plows and all the stuff to be someone to help other people. I'm using the agricultural analogy, but we'll if you want to lead a group, we'll teach you how to do that. We'll help you answer questions. And it's not near as difficult as you may think. So pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So I want to encourage you to be transparent, share prayer requests weekly, cover one another in prayer, because we need each other. We need each other. Some of you are very high-capacity people, very successful at work, very successful at home, have acquired a lot of things, maybe leading your own business or a lot of things are going on in your life that's good, successful, and thank God for that. But you're doing it by yourself. And you're struggling. There was a man in the Bible named Moses, and he had led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. He picked up a staff in his hand, and the Red Sea parted, and a million people walked on dry land. I mean, that's a pretty big deal, right? And so Moses was leading the people of Israel, and there was a time when they were in the desert, when they were having to fight against an enemy that was evil, just awful, and Moses was up on the hill. He had his hands raised like this. And as long as Moses' hands were raised up in the air, Israel was winning the battle. But Moses is human. And what happens after you've had your hands raised up in the air for a long time? They get tired. And it's like, oh, man. Moses' hands began to sag down like this. And when Moses' hands got tired and they sagged and they're down like this, Israel began to lose the battle. And so Aaron and Hur, two guys that were very close, in fact, Aaron was his brother, they realized what was going on. They went up beside Moses, and one got on one side and the other got on the other side, and they held Moses' hands up in the air. And when Moses' hand went back up into the air, guess what happened? The Israelites began to win the battle again. It doesn't matter who we are, we're all human. Doesn't matter how successful you are, how much money you've made, how many people know you, how powerful you are, or whatever. We all need other people in our life to help us and to support us. We need people in our life holding us up. We all do. I do. You do. We all do. So I want to put this screen back up one more time about the texting. SG Leader. Text SG Leader to 94000 if you're interested in leading a group. And we want to connect with you this week. And you can just leave that slide up, but we're going to pray. So would you bow your heads with me? And we're going to pray right now for two things. One, for this message idea that we're talking about. But also, there's people in the house today, maybe watching online, that are not connected to Jesus. You're not in a relationship with him. Maybe you don't even understand what that means. Like, all your life, you just associated God with church, or, you know, doing certain things at a church, and it wasn't really a relationship with God. It was just sort of religious habit. And so I want to present to you a new idea, and that is that you can actually be in relationship with God, and he knows you, and you know him, and you talk to each other, and you grow in relationship, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it takes letting go of your life as you know it and handing it over to God and saying, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I want to be in a relationship with you. It doesn't mean that you're like, you know, you have to quit your job and move to China or anything like that. Your life may look very, very similar to it till it did, you know, as it did a week ago. But there's something different on the inside. You know, a different perspective, different worldview. And the worldview is this, that there's no way that I could ever on my own get to God. There's just no way. God's perfect. God's holy. God's amazing. I could never get there. The only way that I could ever get to God is through the work of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came here and lived a perfect life and then willingly surrendered his life. What Jesus said at that Last Supper, right after he washed the feet of the disciples, is, I have a new deal for you. Up until now, if you were good, you could be God's people and he would be your God. You failed at that, and you can't seem to get that right. So here's the new plan. Here's the new testament, the new covenant that Jesus has for us right now. Jesus says, I will take your sin from you, and I will take your punishment from you, and I'll go to the cross on your behalf, and I will give you what I've deserved, which is eternal life with God forever and ever. Well, what's the catch? There is no catch. That's why it's called good news. It's good news because you can give him your mess and he gives you eternal life. It's good news because Jesus Christ paid the price for you already and you don't have to pay that price. So if you're ready for that, I want you to join with me in prayer, and you can say what I'm saying exactly, or you can say it in your own words. But let's just say this. Jesus, I want in. I want to be with you, God. I want to have a relationship with you. And I surrender my heart to you right now. Please forgive me of my mistakes, the things I've done wrong. Please forgive me of my sin. I need help. Some of you have a very broken past. There's things that have happened to you in the past that are weighing you down. things that have happened against you, to you from other people. I want us to hand that over to God right now too. Just say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I trust you with it. Please help me with it. Please heal my heart. Please help me with the things I can't seem to forget, the things that keep weighing me down. Please help me. I need your help, God. And I trust you, Jesus. I don't understand it all. I don't have it all figured out. But I'm going to live by faith. And I'm going to trust you from this day forward. And I give you my life. And I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this. And I'm making myself available for you to fill me with your goodness, your love, your peace, your joy. I welcome you into my life. Please come. Please come, Lord. I welcome you. I welcome your Holy Spirit into my life to fill me from the inside out. In Jesus' name. I want to pray one more time. I want to pray for everybody else in here that's already given your heart to God, but you've been secluded. You've been isolated. You haven't exposed yourself to other people, and it's time. I believe now's the time for us to get connected to other people, to learn from one another, and to grow in relationships. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, every one of us, God, I just pray for laborers in the field right now. I pray for people to stand up and be called of God to make a difference in this culture and this generation, to bring the good news that we just prayed about to this whole city, to Texas State, to those that are hurting and lost and strung out and confused. And God, we're believing that we could actually make a difference in this world if we would come together. So Lord, I'm praying that we would step out of our comfort zone and we would connect with other people and we would make a difference. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. Now, that was pretty weak. I want us to say amen loud. Are y'all ready? Say amen. Amen. You know what amen means? It means so be it. May it happen in the name of Jesus. Let it happen. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to have First Wednesday worship this coming Wednesday. We'll take communion together, worship together, bring a word. It's going to be great. We'd love to have you. Plus, I don't know if y'all have seen River Dogs around town. It's a gourmet hot dog stand. They're going to be here on Wednesday night to fill your belly. So it's going to be a great time. But in the meantime, go out and be the salt and the light. We love you so much. You were dismissed. Have a wonderful week. We love you guys.